Okay, so good morning and welcome. Well, it's certainly morning for you, Daniel, in New Zealand. And how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Rachel. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Yeah, new day, very excited.
Good, but excited for this interview.
Yes, as well, yes.
And also for your day coming up, which is what we'll talk about further in the interview. So just to introduce Daniel, I've only met him in the last couple of weeks, recommended to speak to him as an up-and-coming entrepreneur. And basically, Daniel is launching a domain website business in New Zealand. Daniel's originally from Germany, and he's a kind of a forward-thinking guy. And these are people who I'm interviewing in these leadership takeaways, people who are striving out there, being very creative with their business ideas. They've maybe worked in traditional business and then moved away from that because they see a better way of doing things. And Daniel is one of those people. So would you, just like to quickly say a bit about your background, Daniel, and why Optimally?
I'm actually a professional translator and interpreter. That's a profession I learned, but I never did it actively. Once I finished my translation degree, I wasn't as excited anymore about it. So I looked for jobs and opportunities where I could at least use my language skills, and I ended up in an internet company. And because I spoke four languages, they started sending me on conferences and shows, because for them it was more practical to send one person who speaks four languages than to have, four people who speak each one language. And, that allowed me to travel around a little bit, meet people. And that's how I started off my career in this industry.
And then you moved into the website industry, was that correct? And then that's where you...
Yes,
that you
this company I worked for was an internet service provider in Germany. And I worked there for a couple of years. I started off in support center, actually, and then worked myself up to sales, and then did international sales, and then represented the companies at international conferences, and gave presentations there and so on.
So what was it that you saw, Daniel, that made you go, yeah, I can do this better, or I can find a niche for myself?
I think it's the opportunity only the internet offers, the possibility that everybody can, literally everybody could start a business with only a few bucks. The only thing you need is a domain name and a web space, and you can start programming away and create your own online business. You still need to have an idea, what you're going to do, or what you plan to sell. But the opportunity and the possibility is there for everybody. And a lot of other industries, if you want to start off, you need maybe some premises, you need like a factory, or you need to produce something, you need staff right away. And, the internet online business is, I would say, one of the few, or maybe the only business that, allows single people with no money to just start something, just see where it goes.
I'm hearing a little bit of Steve Jobs in what you're saying. You know what I mean? He always said, what was it? Apple's not a computer company. It's a company for people's independence. He could see that, there was big business in the sort of 70s, 80s with big kind of computer companies. And then he wanted to bring computers to the masses. So it's kind of what you're talking about with the internet.
Yes, I really like the idea of helping people starting their own businesses, help them setting up their own websites and advise them a little bit what kind of domain names they should have with their online branding and stuff like that. And it makes me really happy to see new websites coming online, websites of my customers, and see them starting their own success, their own entrepreneurship, and just starting their own career and becoming independent. That's something that makes me really, really happy. And at the same time, I can also work from anywhere in the world, working in the internet, which is it's just a wonderful combination for me.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, no, and it's amazing, because even in the way you speak, obviously I've seen you on the screen and everything, but in your voice I can just hear a kind of a passion, but a caring for people, that you really want them to be able to access that type of technology, and you know what it can make available for them. So that's a
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I do really care about people, and whenever I can, I try to help out people in the best way I can. And I think it's this It's this kind of paying forward idea, you know, if you help other people and give the best to help them achieve what they want to achieve. And I think they pick up this sense and they will do the same way with other people as well. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it starts off a kind of wave. And if more people would do that, I think we would all be maybe a little bit happier.
You've been reading my coaching notes. I was doing some coaching slides today and it was all about, like, basically if you kind of pay it forward, it will come back to you. So actually, as a coach, it's about learning to listen to people and provide what they are looking for first as a customer. And then you'll receive back in thousands what it is you desire. But you first focus on somebody else. So that's great, Daniel. So moving on to, like, the first topic area that I discuss usually in leadership takeaways is I ask people on their strategy. So kind of what was your – because I know you're a co-founder in Octopoly. Mm-hmm. Who is the other co-founder and what was your strategy when you set the company up?
Well, I have been working in this industry and for other companies that do sell similar products in Europe before. And so the local partner I choose is a New Zealander, is a Kiwi, who started businesses here and knows the New Zealand market. I mean, I know the industry in general. I know how to run such a company and what is needed to be successful in that area. But I didn't really know the local market as much. And, you know, I mean, international business rules apply probably like in every country more or less the same, but you know, it's still good to have a local partner who has the connections needed to start off a new company and make it successful from the start.
Absolutely. And so you found this person by just doing some networking and some searching around?
I met this guy on several conferences around the world. So we both attended conferences due to our jobs working for internet companies. And, you know, we met at one of those conferences, you know, and you know, we liked each other. We had the same kind of ideas and, you know, and we were talking about, you know, business ideas and, you know, and one day it just came up and, you know, we thought maybe that's the right time now to just give this a go.
Yeah. And so when you know, obviously you sat down, you've got past the initial stage of you've both got the same values, etc. Mm-hmm. How then do you make a plan for the company? How did you go about strategy? Because everybody talks about, you know, having a strategy, a vision, a mission, goals. What was your first steps?
I'm a very visual person, so I like designs and graphic and stuff like that. So I actually started off with creating some mock-ups for the website and how I would like to sell the product. I mean, I think that was very important for me in the beginning because there's so many platforms out there and I wanted a platform that's just very soothing for the eye, you know, where people come to the website and say, oh yeah, they just feel comfortable, you know, starting off. And so I started off with creating some mock-ups for a website and then I started writing a business plan based on the idea how we wanted to sell the product. You know, just very simple. It should not, people shouldn't be scared coming on a website with a lot of blinking information and prices and 50 different price packages. It should be very simple, very easy, very straightforward, and just take away the first hurdles, the first fear of, you know, starting off the business. That was the main idea behind it. So we built the whole company concept around this idea to just make it super easy, super straightforward, and just very clean and a clear process.
Yeah. Okay. And so where are you up to now with all of it? Because you're launching roundabout now, is it?
Or yeah, soon. We are finalizing the ordering system at the moment. The website, everything is set up. We just, you know, we tweak the ordering system a little bit and improve it a little bit further and make the process a little bit easier. And we do some test runs at the moment as well. So we started having the first two or three test customers on the website. The website is not yet live for the public, but we started doing some, you know, beta testing, basically a soft launch in stealth mode, and just, you know, started taking some customers on board and see how it goes and get their experience, you know, and improve it even further. So for when we launched it, everything is just, you know, super smooth and it works out nicely.
Mm. So looking at that strategy and sort of how do you feel that your strategy, what you both came up with, is going to arm you in, you know, launching into a market that, it's kind of I wouldn't say flooded, but there are a lot of web businesses, domain businesses. So how do you feel your strategy is arming you with, and I get what you're saying about making it super simple for people to understand the benefits. You're thinking customer focused. You're thinking, let's have some really great software that's easily applicable. What do you think is going to arm you?
It's an interesting question. So doing this work for other companies in the past, I noticed that most companies in this industry, they have the same kind of approach. And you're right. I mean, there's so many similar platforms out there. You know, you go on there, you can buy a domain, you get your hosting. And the core, the idea is not different. You know, they want to sell domains and websites so people can start their own businesses online. And we have a very different marketing approach, I had this idea one that I would not really reveal now. Maybe we can do this in a follow-up meeting once we have started successfully. I have two different marketing approaches which none of the other companies have tried yet so far and are not doing. And I think we just have, you know, new fresh energy. A lot of the other companies are around since years and they are successful and they don't really have the urge, you know, to just that maybe they don't want it as much anymore because they already achieved so much. But you know, we are a new company, we're a startup, we have energy, we have new idea, so that is one part. But also because we both my business partner and I are in the industry so long, we know a lot of people, we have a huge network of you know, entrepreneurs and other company owners, and we already have set up a couple of partnerships there that goes both ways, and through those partnerships we will get a lot of new customers as well. So you know, it is this combination. I mean, it certainly helps that we have this network in this industry already on you know, which we can now use starting this new business.
Definitely. I mean, I think having done the networking circuit myself, is it's about really understanding what is your own unique selling point, which you like what you're saying is you're young entrepreneurs, you've got really good grounding in experience, but you really know your stuff and you're really responsive to the market, whereas you say some companies have become a bit lazy. So you've got that responsiveness, but you've got the you've actually got the catchment of customers and suppliers, partners ready to go. So I would say really key there, what businesses are then looking for when you've got all of that structure set up is consistency, which if you can consistently deliver, you'll then get referrals, you'll then get, you'll then get the business coming in. So it sounds like you're kind of ticking all the boxes, which is wonderful. So moving on.
I hope so. Can I just make another remark here? What I thought is because, I mean, I just wanted to go back to the point, there is already a lot of companies out there, you know, who do the very same thing. I think I just came up with a good example, maybe, that if you look at all the social media platforms, right? I mean, starting off with MySpace or Facebook and all those platforms. And even though, I mean, you would think like a platform that Twitter and Facebook would just cover the needs of all the social media users out there, but there is always new platforms coming up. You know, you have Instagram, then you have Tumblr, you have Pinterest, you have Snapchat. So there's always a new social media platform, you know, emerging from out of nowhere and gets a huge following. Just people who think that is a little bit more like what they have been looking for. You know what I mean? And I think because people like the taste of people change, or the way of people approaching things and situations or buy stuff changes over time as well. So, you know, if somebody starts a new company now, I mean, they will apply, you know, new things that they've learned, or they will, you know, focus more on how people do business now or buy stuff now. And just because of that, you know, because being a little bit more modern and stuff, it definitely helps to get some attention and some customers, and maybe other of the other registrars or the other businesses wouldn't get.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And there's always a new niche, a new specialism, a new interest that somebody else hasn't unearthed. Because, like you say, the way we were using things 5 years ago, even with social media, is now different now. So the more people start to have the user interface with social media, absolutely, the more different types of applications will come out. So yeah, who knows where you'll end up and what you will delve into by having an open mind and starting in this type of industry. So it's very exciting for you, Daniel. So, and I was playing devil's advocate, obviously asking, you know, what's your unique selling point in it? It brings out the best, I think, in people when they, you know. So with that, we move on to in the next part of the takeaways, which is about strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's an early partnership with yourself and your other co-founder. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily asking you to speak on their behalf, but mm-hmm. for yourself, what would you say you bring as strengths and weaknesses for you know, a company owner in this industry?
I wouldn't say I'm the typical entrepreneur, right? I mean, none of my family has their own business, and you know, and so I'm the first one basically in my family that starts their own business. So I didn't grow up, you know, seeing how that goes and learning it from, you know, from parents or and so on. And I'm mature. I mean, I tend to not focus on weaknesses. I tend to always focus on my strength. And if I know that there's maybe a weakness that I have or an area where you know, why maybe don't you know, succeed as much, then I try to find a partner for that area that covers those points. Like my weakness in this business, in this particular business now, Octopoly, was is certainly that, you know, I'm not a New Zealander, I'm not a Kiwi, and so I don't have this local network. But for this reason, I started this partnership with a local business partner who just, you know, helps me out with this weakness in that sense. So I think, I mean, there's nobody out there who's good in everything. You just need to, you know, find ways to come around your weaknesses, you know, with the right partnerships, or, right? Just do it in a different way.
Yeah. No, and it's a strength that you can see that you can see you farm out the bits that you're not good at. So it's a really sensible way of doing it. So, yeah. And what about strengths, Daniel? Do people always find it hard to come up with their strengths, but what do you think has kept
going? I think one of the strengths I definitely see in this case, and what you need in general for a business, is just to be persistent. I mean, you need to be persistent. You cannot just say, oh, no, you know, I don't really feel like it today. It doesn't matter if you feel like it today or not. You just do it. I mean, you took the decision to start a business, follow through with it. You know, you have a business plan, you have a to-do list. So I have a daily to-do list, you know, things that I know time-wise I'm able to achieve on a certain day. So I will work through those tasks, and I have one for every day. You know, I just prepared the day before. Okay, I finished that much today. I couldn't finish that, so I postpone it to tomorrow, and then fill it up the day tomorrow again with tasks that have to be done. And it doesn't matter if I feel like it or not. It's just they have to be done. You need to be persistent. And that's something I would say that I'm good in. I mean, yeah, I just follow through. It has to be done.
Yeah. And that, again, really relevant, because I was reading some stuff today and it just really hit me that previously I was in different industries and I just never felt like doing it, like you say, and I would give up too easily. But actually in coaching, I found my niche, my passion, what I was good at, what I loved, and caring about people. And I'm just not willing to give up, and I'm just keeping going. And I'm thinking, that's the difference, because I'm just that on those low days, you know, you've just got to get up and you've got to keep doing those actions, even when you've had some criticism or something you wanted to do didn't work. You keep going. Yeah. So wonderful. The other part that we look at in the leadership takeaways is also where leaders get their resources from and what are their resources, because different companies obviously are set up different ways. So there are some companies that are very people heavy because they're service based and they need a lot of people to deploy products and services or the service itself, or it's just mainly a product company where it can be, like you say, just a one man band who maybe ships products over the internet and he or she does it from their bedroom or something. So what sort of resources do you need around you to have the company work?
Well, as mentioned earlier, I mean, internet business is it's very easy and straightforward. You don't need a huge amount of people from the get-go. We have a couple of people working for us, some part-time and some we outsource. We have a partnership with some local businesses here. You know, maybe some graphic designers and some copywriters. They help us out. We help them out. And, you know, until we know how much resources are needed. For example, I mean, there wouldn't be a need at this very moment to hire a full-time graphic designer because you know, we don't have the need for this right away. So we have these partnerships with other companies where we help them out with stuff and they help us out. And I think this is what you learn after a while, you know, as the company progresses, you know, in which area you need to maybe employ more people, where you need more staff and where you need more resources. At this moment, it's just, you know, like four people that work on this project. Yeah, I mean, that is enough for the moment. What we have done is we automated most of the processes as far as possible. So stuff that maybe other companies still do like manually, or we automated those. So it's just, there is a little bit less need for people at this very moment.
Wonderful. And what about your plans like for development? How do you see it going? So like, you know, 6, 12 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years time, like 10 years time, are you going to have like a management buyout? You know, are you going to franchise the business into lots of different web businesses? Like, what's your kind of, you know, how are you going to scale this if it's as successful as I'm sure you hope it is?
I mean, if the question, to answer this question, this moment, I wouldn't say that I have the plans to sell it. It's just, you know, I really enjoy being this business and being this industry. And ever since I, you know, started working in this industry, it's, I mean, I'm a person, I cannot sit just somewhere and relax. I never go to the beach and just sit there for hours on it. I can't do that. It's boring. I need to be active. I need to do stuff. So even if I would sell the company, I would find myself something new. But then it's, I mean, I really like this business. I really like this industry. So I don't think I would just sell the company at one point. I don't see this happening at this very moment. Maybe if you ask me in 5 years, my answer will be different. But at this very moment, no. I mean, I want to grow it. I want to see it becoming bigger. I want to hire more people. And it's just, you know, I enjoy it every single day working for this business. So, yeah.
And if you were scaling it, Daniel, and it was growing, would you just grow it in New Zealand or would you grow it in Germany too? Have you got connections in Germany and other countries?
Oh yeah, I do have connections all around the world because I attended a lot of international conferences around the world through the past couple of years. At this moment, we launched a business in English and we will serve all English speaking countries, mainly now for the start, Australia, New Zealand and the Asia Pacific area. Obviously, I wouldn't stop the company from growing, right? But I think that's something we will see within the first couple of weeks. You know, I mean, you never know in which areas your business is perceived much better than in other areas. I mean, we have some target markets, obviously, but if we find out that one of our target markets, you know, it's just really, really tough to get into for whatever reason, then we would not want to force it just for the sake of it, right? But, you know, sometimes you find out that targets are markets that you haven't really considered, just suddenly you get a lot of interest from, and then why not focusing on those markets when it seems to be easier anyway? So I said, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Pacific Asian region, but after that, I think we will just, you know, see how the business grows naturally, in which direction it goes, where we get more customers from, and then just focus on those areas. That's also what I did in the past. I mean, there's always interest from business owners saying, oh, I really want to be big in Asia. I really want to be big in China. I really want to be big in Brazil, you know, whatever. But, if it's just really hard and tough and you don't have the resources or the know-how, I mean, just look at where the business maybe naturally comes from and just focus on that, you know. I mean, if somebody gives you the hand, you know, just take it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so with this, like you were saying, Australia, et cetera, from New Zealand, are you being able to service people, like, would you meet them over Skype so they could explain what kind of website spec they want, or how would you do it?
We do meet people here locally in person. We have no issue with it. I think it's really important, especially when we build websites for customers, because those are projects for a couple of weeks, you know. And for us, it's really important to get the feeling and what the people want to achieve with the website. I mean, if somebody signs up and sends you an email, hey, I want a website for my, I don't know, a barbershop. Okay, you can create a website based on those parameters, but it is not necessarily the best website out there. I mean, I sit down and me and my team, we sit down with those people and say, you know, what do you want to achieve? You know, what is the message you want to send? You know, how do you do business? You know, what are your values? And we take all this into consideration when we design a website. And, you know, it's just so far the feedback we got is just brilliant, because we take all this, you know, what defines a person, and, you know, and put it into the website. It's not just, oh, I want my website just in red and in white colors. That's not it. You know, there's so much more that you know, comes into it and contributes to that. So we really want to get the feeling of the people, and, you know, maybe visit them on their premises and see their business that is maybe already existing, and just, you know, get the best possible feeling we can before we start the project and build a website then based on, you know, how they want the online website to look like.
Yeah, which absolutely is crucial, because I've found that with rebranding my website is that, like you say, you've got to really delve into the values of who they are and how they're delivering what they do.
Yeah.
And what solution they're providing is exactly like you said. But like with these customers, obviously you're in New Zealand and you were saying Australia. So are you going to travel to see people? How are you doing that?
Yes, well, Australia is not too far away from us. It depends on the project. I mean, we would not necessarily travel to Australia for every single website, right? It really depends on the project. I mean, as you said, I mean, we can always have conversations on Skype. Here locally now in New Zealand, it is possible to just visit people and set up a meeting. That's okay. But it is obviously based on the project size, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so that's like your structuring your resources and how the business will grow. And the last section that we look at in the leadership kind of component parts is insights and learning, and how a leader learns and what insights you specifically, Daniel. Where are you getting your insights from? How are you learning? How are you putting that into practice?
Interesting question. So when we took the decision to start this business, there were a couple of areas, you know, where I worked for big companies before with people from, you know, with around 50 to 100 people that did the same thing. And obviously there is a specialized people, experts for certain areas. And if you start off a business, it's mainly you and maybe your business partner, like maybe three people in total who have to do the work that in other companies 50 people do, right? So there is a lot of things that, you know, I wasn't an expert about, and that's just stuff you need to start. So after what I mentioned before, after I created when I wanted to design a website, I had no idea how to put it together. So I bought myself like a wireframe or a software to create mockups for websites, and then just started learning that, put the mockups together. And then it was about time to create a website based on my mockups, and I had no idea how to create a website. I mean, I have used WordPress before, right? But it's different. So I just started off creating a website, you know, programming websites in HTML and CSS with Bootstrap, and that's just something I just started off at one point. I just sat there and watched a couple of YouTube videos, and then just tried it myself. I tried it again, watched more YouTube videos, and then it was about time to do a little bit deeper programming in JavaScript. So I attended a JavaScript course that went over a couple of days, and just, you know, picked up as much as possible. And then I just watched more YouTube videos. I went on a couple of websites. So whenever I don't know how to do something, I just Google for it, and I stop working. If there's something, okay, how do I do this? I stop working, I Google it right away. Hey, it's the internet, right? I find out how I do it, I try it, and there's a couple of things that I tried once, and I couldn't make it work. So I tried it maybe for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and just, okay, now, I mean, whatever I do now, it wouldn't make the situation better. So I let it rest for a day, go back, I Google it the next day again, maybe on different websites, and then I just try it again. And there were situations where I had to do this maybe 2 or 3 days in a row until I finally got it. But at that point, because you have like done so much research about it, and you have tried it so often, it's just impregnated in your brain. You know, you won't forget this anymore, ever. And I think that that's what you really need to have as an entrepreneur, the will to learn new things. I mean, especially when you start off, you won't have a team of 50 people behind you, right? I mean, that's a very few cases. So you need to be willing to learn all the things that maybe other people do once the company is bigger. You need to be able to do it yourself. So I needed to learn how the accounting system works and the tax system works in New Zealand to be able to do the accounting, like before we hire an accountant. Just so many new areas and things, and you need to be willing to learn new stuff. If you're not willing to learn new stuff, I would say it will be really tough to start your own business and be a successful entrepreneur, because it's just... humans always learn. You know, you will never reach the point where you say, you know, I know enough now in my life. I mean, I know enough. There's nothing else I need to know. I mean, the world changes, technology changes. You need to keep on learning and, you know, absorbing as much information as possible. And I think the internet is obviously the best source for that, because everything is on your fingertips, right? Whatever you want to know. And that is very important. Just do it. Google it.
Do it, like Nike say. And like, we should know that more than anything, because obviously we should have been doing our Google Hangout over a week ago. And so I've been the one that's been researching, trialing, having a go, going back to it, because obviously now Google Hangouts are on YouTube. And so you're absolutely right. I think it's the willingness to be uncomfortable, isn't it?
Exactly. Getting out of your comfort zone and trying new things. But that's the way how you grow. That's the way also how you get more self-confident after you went through situations where before you said, I have no idea how this works. And now after eight months almost, where I would just spend almost full time working on their own website and programming it myself. It's just, I have a website that I created like 95% myself. I mean, just all of it on my own, and I just look at it and it makes me on one hand really proud, but on the other hand makes me very self-confident, because that's a project from the get-go that, you know, that I started and brought to this point after like several weeks of hard work. And it's just, whatever you do afterwards, you can look back and say, hey, look, you remember when you started off having just, you had this idea, but you didn't know anything else, not how you'd create a website, nothing else, but you still managed to do it. And now you're here, whatever project you have in front of you afterwards, it's just, it is easier every single time, because you have all this experience from past projects and you just get more self-confident. And that is really important in as entrepreneur as well, I would say.
Agreed. And also you touch on it there that, you know, you were really proud and kind of super self-confident, which is great. And two of the main things that I've learned as a coach and read up on is learning to acknowledge things and appreciate things. So it sounds like you're putting that into work in
yes.
your kind of daily life. And what would you say that provides you in being able to kind of, like you say, draw a line in the sand and know that you've reached that measure
yeah.
and being able to really acknowledge that? Because a lot of people who work for themselves find that very hard and just keep beating themselves up that they haven't got to where they need to get to. It sounds like you've got a very level head on.
I mean, people just need to keep on pushing. And those are the things you can source from when you have maybe a downtime and you really don't feel well, or there's a problem you can't. I mean, it's just a big problem in front of you and don't know how you find your way around that. It's just... you can source from this experience and in those moments, saying, hey, look, I have done worse things, you know, I have been in front of bigger problems and solved those. So just give it a go, just go for it, right?
Yeah. And so what do you do as a person who's pretty much running their own company? What do you do in those downtimes? What do you use as motivation, inspiration, apart from the fact that, you know, I'm just going to keep going. What are your kind of daily, weekly inspiration points that, you know?
Inspiration. I mean, I get inspiration from so many different things, from art, like mostly from being around like nature, being in front of the ocean. And what I think helped me a lot starting business, I think, is starting some kind of sport. I started off running, and it's just something you need to be persistent about, right? So I go for a run every single day, if it's raining or not. I mean, I just really try to go for a run. And it's one of the things, you know, because it represents a lot like how our business is, right? I mean, if you take the decision that, you know, you be more healthy, you start running, you need to go for it. I mean, there will be days where the weather is awful outside, just go for it. You know, you took the decision, and the business is very much the same, right? You cannot just, oh, no, I don't really feel like, I just feel like staying in bed today. No, that you decided to start a business. You can't stay in bed. You need to do this. And that's how, you know, how I relate those things. And yeah, I started recently also boxing. It's just something, because I mean, in this industry, you know, we sit a lot in the office on a chair and it's just staring into a screen. And I think for me, it is helpful and very inspiring. And again, new energy from doing just the opposite, you know, not staring at a screen, being outside, you know, being active, you know, and just being physically active. That is, I think those are two very important components that go together.
Is there anywhere where you get, because you're very internally sourced, Daniel, in the sense that you it's almost like you say you trust your gut and you go with it and you keep going. But is there anywhere where you externally, you know, you read about stuff or you've seen other examples of entrepreneurs, and or is it just all come from you, your persistence?
Oh no! It's I mean, I do read a lot, and I look up on YouTube videos and inspiring stuff, and I browse every day platforms like TechCrunch. I mean, even if it's just reading through the headlines, right? I mean, I don't have the time to read every single article, but it is very inspiring to read new headlines of stuff. You know, this new product came out, this company fundraised that amount of money. It's just, It's good to keep up to date, seeing what the tech world does. And it's just, it's very inspiring. It gives me every day a push looking at them. Oh, look what they have achieved. Oh, they are so much further. And it's just, oh my God, I need to do more. You know, I need to progress. I need to invest more time into this work and maybe have, and also sometimes you get a new idea by browsing through those things. Maybe there's something we could try, or we can take this idea and apply it in our business, right? It's just really important to follow the news, the tech news, and or whatever news it is in your industry. And you know, keep up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. And what sort of one final thing in the learning and the insights and how you kind of are taking that forward, you know, let's fast forward say 6 months, a year, and you're a boss of many people who are designing and
implementing. Let's hope so.
And what would you say, again, because obviously this is called Leadership Takeaways, and it's obviously not just about coming up with the ideas and being an entrepreneur, it's leading people. And the reason I say this is, what would you bring about to being a leader? Because I've just been reading recently, watching Simon Sinek, who wrote the book Start With Why. And interestingly enough, Jim Collins always said, it's not, you know, it's just getting the right people on the bus. So, you know, it's just getting the right employees. But Simon Sinek just recently said, well, hell no, you know, it's actually about caring about people. So have you actually ever thought about what is the bus and who is the driver? So it's not just about the right people. So Simon Sinek advocates that he's gone out when they were fighting in Afghanistan with the American troops. And he got caught in crossfire. And he said, I saw people losing their life, and these soldiers were treating each other like brothers and sisters. He said, if you go to companies, they don't treat each other like brothers and sisters. And, you know, they kind of vaguely resent each other in big corporations or whatever.
It's very true, yeah.
So you've moved from bigger corporations to your own company. So what can you bring as a leader in the year to come when your business grows? What are you going to keep your eye on when you're the captain of the ship? You see what I mean in how you make it your own, that it doesn't become...
I have worked for other companies and I had teams working for me. And I think one thing is really important is that to address any issue that comes up between, you know, your team members, your staff, you need to address it immediately. There are situations where you just, you know, you see that, you know, there's some stress that builds up, or, you know, people just, they don't get along with each other. And it might even reach the point where they drag down everybody else as well, you know, and just really... bring a negative vibe into the whole company culture, right? So you need to address those situations right away. I mean, you need to sort out bad apples. I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, obviously, I like everybody, but if there is a person maybe just a person who really doesn't fit into the team, and you try to make him fit, and you had conversations with all of them. So look, we need to get on. I mean, we want to progress, right? We want to, you know, be successful together. But if you see that there's somebody that just really hard to fit in, I mean, you need to let that person go. I mean, on one hand, because you want the best for your company, but also for this person. I mean, if this person knows and feels that he doesn't fit in, I mean, the best thing for this person is also to look, find yourself another job, maybe in a company where you fit much better into that existing team, right? It's just, you know, we are all people, you know, and some people get along and some people don't. I mean, it's not that everybody punches the others, you know, in the office, but you still get this now, they tease each other, they mock each other, a little bit of bullying, just, you cannot allow that at all. I always want to have the feeling that everybody gets along nicely, and you can achieve that. There are teams and companies where this is very much the case, right? And maybe if you have a bigger company and a person, you know, doesn't really fit into one team, maybe he fits much better into another team, you know. Obviously, you should try to make it work for everybody, but if it doesn't, you know, you always need to protect the business and the existing team that works together nicely.
Absolutely, totally agreed. I was watching a webinar a couple of weeks ago with Ben Drury, who's the culture guy, and he's absolutely saying what you said, is that person would be better off working in another company anyway, because their values don't fit the culture. And it's a benefit for both the company and the person moving on.
Yeah, so I
totally agree with you. Well, wonderful, Daniel. I mean, that brings us really to the end of all the aspects of what I talk about in Leadership Takeaways. And, you know, is there anything else that you would like to kind of say or anything that you've thought of since we've gone through all the different sections?
I think one last comment I want to make is just people always, I mean, I was the same years ago. I looked at people starting their own business and I was super impressed, and I'm still super impressed. And when I look at people who have and run their own business, it is impressive, right? But technically, everybody could do it, right? I mean, you need the idea, you need to be persistent. Not everybody wants to become their own entrepreneur, you know, and it's not necessarily always about money. It's just about doing what you love. And I think like great things come out of passion, right? If you're passionate about something, It there's just such a high chance that you'll be really successful and that you will create something that is just wonderful. If you have no passion about what you do, then it's almost determined to fail, right? I mean, without passion, you cannot really achieve amazing things. And I think it's really important that people find something that they are passionate about and, you know, just invest as much time as possible into that. And I think more people should try to find a way to make what they are passionate about, what they really love, and turn it into their profession. I mean, yeah, I think so.
I mean, you've got my vote there. I mean, that's my strapline on my website, is connecting you to your passion. So it's like some people might know what their passion is, but they're too afraid to go for it. Or some people just don't know what their passion is.
They need to try more things. You know, people should just start to try new things. I read a book or an article once about the guy who did who tried something new every 30 days. So he said, you know, the next 30 days I learn like Spanish every day, or the next 30 days, you know, I go for a run every day. So he picked something, and for 30 days in a row, he did that every day for at least an hour. And then afterwards, he finds out maybe that he hates it, or maybe even after 15 days that he despises it so much that he can't continue. Or maybe he finds out that it's something that he really loves. Or in the best case, he finds out that this is something that he loves, and that he's also really good at, or that she's really good in whatever that is. And I think people should try new different things, and that's the only way how people can find out if maybe hidden talents, right? That's what it's all about, to find your talent, what you're good at, and, you know, do it for the rest of your life, right?
Well, that's interesting, because Jim Collins has, I think it's called The Hedgehog, where it's the three circles that cross over, and if you can meet the bit in the middle, and the three circles are the bit, there's something that you really love, something that you're genetically encoded to do, and then the third thing is you can actually make money from it. And if three circles cross over, you found your kind of your passion, your niche.
The sweet spot. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, I would totally sign it off.
Yeah, it's the thing. So thank you once again, Daniel. It was lovely talking to you, and for allowing me, you know, this time to to have the conversation with you, and I wish you the best of luck with your launch for Octopoly. I just know from what you've described that it will go really well for you, and you know, New Zealand, here we come. I'm sure they'll be very pleased to have you as one of their main businesses there. So yeah, thank you very much, and with that we end the podcast.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It was really a pleasure being on a podcast, and you know, yeah,
it was really lovely. Wonderful. Thank you.